The Two Brews in the Studio Show. The podcast.
One, two, three, four.
Salute to the crazy genius that you are. I am the Vader Taylor, a.k.a. Hulk Hogan.
And my And my name is Tabari Fingle, a.k.a. the Brilliant Professor. The other half of the show, just so you know. Had to jump in there right quick.
So you now tuned in to the Two Bros in the Studio Show.
A show made by creatives for you creatives.
That's right. So, this episode, we got a pretty dope episode, right? We pretty much been covering like all aspects of creativity, from creation to monetization. Especially have you on the, now it's time for us to dive into some areas of other interests that creatives are creating, right? Mm-hmm. So I know this is something that's of interest with Tabari, because Tabari, you draw, don't you?
I do. Well, I did, at least. Before I started playing keys, mashing up my fingers another way.
I'm pretty sure you haven't diminished down to like just doing stick figures like me.
No, I'm not stick figures, but I'm not doing too bad. I'm not doing too bad. I could show you something. But in the meantime, who are we talking to today?
We are talking to DJ Chibba, Tony Drake.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
You are here, man. What the deal is with you?
Not much, man. I just appreciate you guys having me on.
No, dude, we appreciate your time, man. But, you got something very interesting that's going on that we really wanted to share with the creative geniuses. Your show, your cartoon that you're actually creating, and you have a Kickstarter for it too as well, which, please, give the creators the background of this show, your background, and also feel free to drop the Kickstarter, your social media handles and all that.
Man, that's a lot. Let me, I'll start with, everything can be found at bluegeekmusic.com. Bluegeekmusic.com is a place to go. You can find out about the Kickstarter. Hopefully I'll get to kind of lay everything out.
Absolutely.
But like you said, I'm trying to get an animation on TV. The really dope thing about this animation is that there's a, all original hip hop soundtrack that goes along with it. We actually recorded it in a Grammy Award winning studio, House Studios DC. It's got a lot of talented people on it. I really think with the music that we came up with, it's gonna kind of live in that vein as far as like Afro Samurai, how the music was almost like a character and really pushed the storyline forward and set the mood and set the action. So I'm really looking forward to being able to share that with everybody.
That's super dope.
Yeah, man. You're working with Reggie Volume, one of our past guests on one of my episodes with him, Nico and Mike. And actually that's how I came across your page and your animations, because he posted something last week to support you guys in the Kickstarter.
Yeah.
Shout out to the homie Reggie Volume, man. Super talented dude, man. Excellent guy, man. Nico and also Panama.
Yeah. Nah. They are amazing.
Yeah. Absolutely, man. So what led you down this rabbit hole, man? Because this is a serious rabbit hole right here, man. I mean, because now you're blending both music and also animation together, which I've never seen this come together in such an impactful way.
Yeah, no. So it's actually kind of funny. It didn't even start off as an animation. It actually started off as a mixtape. I really wanted to do a mixtape because I'm really about getting people that I think are talented and being able to push them out there and kind of give them a platform to get their music out.
Right.
Because sometimes you'll come across an artist who's really dope, but like I said, he just doesn't have that platform. And so that's what I wanted to create. And so, but if I'm being realistic with myself, like my name alone isn't going to give them the platform that they deserve. And so I'm thinking to myself, like, all right, like, everybody and their cousin has a mixtape. Like, what's going to be different about this one? And so then I was just like, you know what? Like the Gorillaz are really dope.
Right.
Like, but I wish they would have done a little bit more. Like, you have the characters, but you really don't know that much about them.
Good point.
And so I'm like, yeah. So I'm just like, yo, if I can create some characters in this world, like that'd be something like really dope that I think people would be interested in it. So when I was younger, I used to write stories. And so I was just like, you know what, let me just pick up a pen and see what comes out. And surprisingly, like the kind of the concept and the story actually came pretty easy. And when I put it away and like picked it back up, like I was just like, oh man, like this might actually be something. And then kind of a whole bunch of work and writing and rewriting, later, you come back, things like 6-7 years later and here we are.
Oh, wow. You said 6-7 years later. So there's definitely a process that you had to like go through with this. So within those 6 or 7 years was a bunch of like edit, revision, edit, revise, or was it just like, that was good. Let me just go add on to this. I got to do something else.
That was my
and I'm going to just go ahead and turn this side.
So it's a little bit of everything. Because I think one of the things that I do want people to know is that 6 or 7 years ago, I had no idea what it took to be in animation. Like, I just knew that I liked animation and I knew it was something that I wanted to do. And so I just kind of said, well, like, if these other people can do it, why can't I do it? And so it went into a lot of research and finding out like, okay, like what's the process to go through animation? Like, what actually makes a good animator? What makes a good director? Like, how do you actually write a script? Like, what's the right format? And so.
So in this time you went from not being an animator to being an animator for the sake of pushing the project to the next level. Did I understand it correctly?
Almost. Okay. So I actually don't draw myself. I work with other animators to kind of get what's in my head and put it out there.
Fair.
So I'm more of a director. So I had to figure out how do I describe to someone what's in my head to get out exactly what it is that I want to see.
You should teach a class on that, because as a producer, it's really. I want it to like swoosh. Do you have like a swoosh you can put in the track? Yeah, exactly. I'm sure. Once I know what the hell you're talking about, I'm sure I can figure it out. Yes. Just make a deposit with the young lady in the front. There you go.
Yeah, because you draw. So, like, if I said to you, like, okay, like I want you to draw. This
beat. Yep. You were saying, Vader? You were kind of freezing up. It's okay. We'll catch Vader back in a second.
Okay,
all right. Catch Vader back in a second. But yeah, so learning how to communicate with the artist and the studio.
I was listening.
Okay. Yeah, learn how to communicate with them, because if I say, like, all right, we want to make this character's shirt blue, there's literally an infinite amount of shades of blue that shirt could be. And depending on what shade it is, that's kind of going to change the whole look of the character. So just being able to learn that communication, that language to make it easier.
Contrast and colors from foreground to background so that things pop in the front and chill in the back. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, even like if you look at the characters that have different complexions. And so, like a red shirt on one character is going to make that character look totally different than another one who has a blue shirt and maybe is a darker complexion.
True.
Just trying to figure out what's the right color combinations and right color palettes to get the emotion and the feel that I want to get.
Absolutely. That makes a lot of sense, man.
Yeah, so out of this whole series, man, like what should we expect, man? What should we expect? Because when I read the bio on the actual story, the initial story, right. I mean, my mind just like went everywhere, you know, and it all started with, you know, the lead character signing a contract, not knowing that he's going to be a hitman, like right. a literal hitman. So there's so many different parallels with that. And I'm like, all right, if you're going to start here, it reminded me like, it'd be equivalent to freaking bringing, like, I don't know, bringing a Jay-Z story to life. Mm. Where you can animate the parallels and the worlds, right? And then you mentioned something about morals.
Yeah.
And the challenge, right? The challenges. Is that going to be like the main protagonist in this story? Is the conflict in morals or what?
So I think it's really, so like you did pick up on it. There's a lot that I'm trying to touch on. Because you do have, Slick who winds up signing a contract and getting tricked into signing up to be a hitman. So really, I guess let me back up a little bit because Slick wants to be like the universe's next biggest hip hop star, and he's willing to do anything to make that happen. And I feel as though, like just in life, there are people that have goals and aspirations, and they say that they're willing to do anything to make those dreams come true. Like you actually have to think like, do you really mean that? Are you willing to do anything? Like you might say that, but I don't know. And the example that I always give, do you guys remember Making the Band on MTV with Diddy?
Oh yeah.
Which episode? You love them all. Because she's the one with
Dial. Exactly. So you have this group of people, that say that they want to be rappers, that they want to be on Bad Boy. But then you get that point where they had to walk to Junior's to get the cheesecake. Mm. And they sat there and they complained and just like, yo, like, why am I doing this? But then I remember sitting back and I'm just like, yo, but like, that's Diddy. Like, he's proven, like, he can make all your dreams come true. Like, if he told you to go do that, then why don't you just go do that? But then at the same time, like, as I got older, you got to think like, all right, but like, you have a little bit of pride in yourself. Like,
hopefully.
Is that what you want to know? Like, be known as, so there's kind of that parallel.
Right.
And then I think also when we're trying to progress and go up the ladder, like, you're going to have those challenges. Like, people are going to ask you to do things, that, like I said, just go strictly against your morals and your beliefs. But once again, if you said that you want to do anything to make that happen, then doesn't matter? Does it not matter? That's kind of the things that I want to explore with this.
I love it.
Yeah, man. Cause you know, I was like thinking, even so, you know, from a creative, especially like those that are true artists that just do not want to compromise, that just do not want to conform to the quote unquote, you know, system. And compared to those who dabble over this system, right? Or whatever, going over to, you know, I guess to pursue the fame instead of just, you know, flat out the artistry, right? I've seen artists lose themselves in the lieu of chasing money, right? And when I seen Slick and reading that, I'm like, well, damn, would his powers, the mention he gets to that line where he's battling with his morals.
I said, I'm sorry, you broke up one time.
Yeah, like will Slick powers like diminish the closer he gets to, you know, those battles with morality? Like, is there that can actually diminish his powers the closer that he gets to, you know, those situations or this particular boss character or whatever? You know what I'm saying? So
Slick actually is just a regular person. So the thing that I wanted to do was put Slick in this world where all the adversity and these moral questions are there, but because he's this hitman and there's all these different battles going on, like everything's just amplified like a thousand percent. So it's the same things that you and I would go to, but because it's in this extreme environment, it allows you to kind of reflect a little bit more, even on yourself, through right. Slick.
It's like a safe place to be able to discuss those things that society may deem unseemly.
Exactly. That's the perfect way of putting it.
So here's a question that I have for you. I'm looking at the animation and the artistic prowess that went into it, and I'm seeing a lot of stuff that I love, but I mm-hmm. definitely see some influences here, man. I mean, okay. I see strictly speaking artistically, okay. I see a little bit of touches of like Invader Zim style animation. I'm seeing some Samurai Jack in there a little bit, animation wise, just the way certain characters are drawn and the way certain things are. So when you're working with those artists, I mean, what exactly are you telling them? Where are you pulling from to be able to speak to the way these characters are conceptualized?
You know what? It's it's funny that people will pick out these different cartoons that it reminds them of. But like, we definitely didn't do that intentionally. I think what we were trying to draw from was just like life and things that we like. Like when we were designing the characters, we had certain music playing. Mm-hmm. There were certain things that we would do. Like we would go out in the morning and then come back, or we would go out at night and come back. And so that would kind of set the mood of whatever character it is. But I think the reason that you see those things is because like those shows and like the music that we listen to are so much a part of us, and we're putting us into the characters.
Right. They have reminiscence of those shows, but they're not those. You can't exactly. say, oh, they got that from here. It's not the way it feels, like you said, very just reminiscent of what other cartoons that I already did like. And so I can see what I like and what I'm looking at. And I got to tell you, yeah.
I appreciate it, man. That's what I was hoping for. Because really, what I wanted to do when we created the characters was just say like, all right, like I just want this to be dope for me and my friends. If everyone else likes it, like that's amazing and that's cool. But first I need to make it for me and my friends. And really? So really trying to capture that vibe. And I guess like because me and my friends like watch the same things, we're interested into the same things. That's why some of that stuff but I think because those shows and like the music that we listened to was so classic, like we didn't grow up together, but we liked the same things. And I think that's why we can all connect, to the indies.
Real.
Right.
I love it.
Right. Right. Love the title, The Indies, bro.
I was going to ask you to do me a favor because, I mean, we have access to laptops and desktops, and as we're talking, I'm looking at the stuff. But for the sake of people who are just hearing about the indies in this podcast, Right. You give them a synopsis of what they can expect.
Oh, yeah. Most Def. So the Indies takes place post-apocalyptic future, but of course there's still hip-hop around. So the main character Slick, more than anything, wants to be the universe's next biggest hip-hop star, and he's willing to do anything to make that happen. So one day he winds up meeting this DJ who has an independent label, and the DJ says, if you sign this contract, I can make all your dreams come true. So of course Slick doesn't read the contract, signs it anyway. Come to find out, he actually signed up to be a hitman for hire. So now he has to navigate being a hitman and releasing a debut album all at the same time.
That's a crazy concept, man.
That is a great concept, man. Like, listen to it again, my mind is like, it's gone. Because now I'm like, all right, so I could be expecting this. I could be expecting that. I could be expecting this. You know, wow, dude, wow. But also, there's other characters that are involved besides Slick, too. And he has, like, I want to say, is that, like, his crew, his posse? I mean...
Yeah, so that's the label. The reason it's called the Indies is because it's all about independent labels. Because in this world that I have, the record industry or the entertainment industry is actually set up as a front for like the mob, if you will. So you have like a Universal or a Sony that are like the major record labels who are like the mafia families. And then they go out and they contract these different independent labels who actually kind of like battle it out amongst each other.
That's true.
Wow. So, it's kind of a play on, like, people always complain about, like, independent labels trapping people in contracts, but then you have these smaller independent labels who then trap these independent artists in contracts and do the exact same thing that they're complaining about, so it's like this weird, vicious cycle. So that's kind of another little aspect that I want to explore in this.
That's crazy. Yeah. So we said we had other characters, so let's list them. First on your list, you have Chops, the questionable leader.
So Chops is the he's the DJ of the group. He's the leader of the group. He's kind of the one that's been trapping into these different contracts. He's like a really good fighter. The reason I call him Chops is because also is the just him as a DJ, just chopping, cutting, and scratching, as well. He's just real good with the knives.
Ah, okay. All right. I like that a lot. Then we have Slick, the arrogant protagonist.
Okay. Yeah, so Slick is he's like you kinda love him and you hate him. He's that dude that you probably went to high school with that tried to act like he's tough, but you really know he's not about that life.
Gotcha.
But although he's just mad, annoying, he is good at heart and just really trying to figure himself out and really find out who he is.
Understood. Then you have, Rainey, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, the cyborg producer.
Ronnie is hands down the best fighter in the group. I have a lot of strong females in my life, so I wanted to make sure that Ronnie was also a super strong character. So like I said, she's the best fighter in the group. She's the producer, the in-house producer. She's really nice with the beats because as a cyborg, she's able to see patterns, put them together, kind of link everything up.
And just a really, really awesome design note, credit to you and your team. She's the one who looks like a cyborg. She has that emotionless, but... She has that Data from Star Trek Next Generation look. You know what I'm saying? She has that feel of, I want to learn what it is to be human. You know, whereas Slick has a look on his face that we all have had at one point. You know what I'm saying? Like, that nigga. You know what I'm saying? And Chops has that look like the leader, but...
Yeah, it's a little iffy.
So, but I can see more than just your description of them. I can see it in their character design, which is a big credit to you and your team. Next on the list that you have on here, we have Pan, the cage monster.
Yeah, so Pan is actually Ronnie's twin brother. So in this world, I kind of said that, all right, science is kind of like taking a slippery slope. So you have like genetics experiments going on. So they were both orphans. So that's why Ronnie, like, they didn't have anyone to protect them. So that's why as a child, Ronnie was made into a cyborg and Pan actually had his genes crossed with a bear. And so he's just this huge dude. In the group, he's actually the bodyguard slash like world's worst hype man. Because you can't hear anything that he says. So
that is hilarious. The world's worst hype man.
and then you have Rico, the janky manager. I love first off, I love the description.
So Rico is actually he's blind, but he has his dreads are mechanical, and so they kind of like a Dr. Octopus thing.
Gotcha.
Protect him. So in some of the concept art that's actually going to be released as a Kickstarter reward, I have a poster where it looks like he's just walking through the park. But there's all this, his dreads are causing all this chaos, lifting up cars, fighting people. If you watch the trailer, you can actually see his dreads, like, kill the one villain behind him. Right. So that's a character I'm really looking forward to animating.
You know, I gotta say, that's an interesting take. That's an interesting take. I gotta admit. So, hey, I'd love to see that character in particular get developed a little bit, and that's definitely something I'm looking forward to.
All right, my question is, are we ever going to champion on the janky promoter?
are we ever going to champion on it, like cheer him on?
Cheer him on, yeah.
I really do think that
it's just funny.
I really do think so. I feel as if though Rico, like, he does a lot of questionable things, and he's looking out for himself. I don't know. Like, I feel as if though he definitely has redeeming qualities.
Nice.
And he does try to look out for people, but first, like, let me take care of mine first, right. and maybe I got you.
So he'll be like the wild card.
Yeah, you don't really know. Like, he's that friend who, like, calls you and says, like, yeah, we're going to go out. I'm going to come pick you up. And, like, you're just not quite sure. Like, are we going out? Are we not going out? Exactly. I don't know.
Exactly. Here's what I know. Here's what I know. If somewhere in the series there comes need for radio announcers to be in the back and maybe we could be animated, I'm just saying that the Dude Bros and Studio show volunteer their services to be featured in your show. No cost. No cost at all. It will be free of charge. You don't have to even worry about it, man. We got you. That's all I'm saying.
Nice. There actually is on a Kickstarter page a chance to be drawn into the 2D animated short that we're doing.
Awesome.
We already got you guys covered. We got you guys covered. But for everybody else,
yeah.
There you go. For everybody else listening.
Throw our name in the hat. Go ahead and do that while we're on the show. Okay, let's get back to the show. Okay.
Three times.
Oh, man.
So, all right, so look, where are you at about now with the Kickstarter? Let's talk about that, because that's important, too, because I believe that this show needs to be, this animation needs to be funded.
Yeah,
most definitely. So we're actually doing pretty well right now. I think we're at 11,000 about a weekend. So we're trying to actually get to 50,000. So we're right on track. But we definitely need people to continue to back us. Because it's not like, I definitely appreciate everyone who did back, but the thing that's actually going to propel this forward is if everyone shares it with their friend. and then that friend shares it with their friend.
Yeah.
The thing that I want to get, that I want to make sure is clear about Kickstarter is that if I don't get to 50,000, like, I don't get any of the money. So if I get to $49,999, I don't get anything. So we just really, really need people, to pass this along. And, like, I get that, like, I've been talking to people and, like, some people will say, like, well, you know, I'm not really into cartoons. Like, real talk, this is bigger than cartoons.
It truly is.
Yeah. Because what I'm trying to do is, like, if you notice, like, all five main characters are people of color. Like, you really don't see that. I want to be able to have these characters, like, these characters are doing questionable things. But I feel as if though, like, in real life, like, people do questionable things, but what people don't ask is, like, the why. Are you?
Why? Yeah.
Like, what, like, how did you actually get to this?
How did you get to this point? Yeah. I feel that way. Sometimes, you know, you're at work and you might have somebody of a different, ethnicity or a different race from you, and they'll be like, I just don't understand. I mean, yes, this bad thing happened, but I don't understand why you're rioting and looting in the streets. That doesn't make sense. And I'm like, because you're not desperate. That's why. Yeah. It's not a justification, but it is a reasoning. It is a thinking of why something like that would happen. And just understanding that gives you a little bit more empathy than you just had. And that little bit of empathy allows you to see from their perspective a little clearer.
No, I agree 100%. And I think, like, the way, like, the example that you gave right now, like, when people say why, they're really not asking a question. They're actually stating something. Like, they're already stating, I believe you're wrong because. Yeah. But the thing that I want to do here is not necessarily tell you what's right or wrong. Right. I just present the situation, and, like, the next day at work, everyone can go and talk about why they thought what Slick did was right or what Slick did was wrong.
That's the best way to do it.
Mm-hmm. Right. So you leave it open for open conversation and also criticism, right?
Exactly.
That's dope. That's what we try to do here with this show. From episode to episode, you know, we really talk about, you know, different situations, scenarios, whether they're managers, promoters, DJs, artists, PRs, actors that actually made it, featured in Transformers and some more stuff. And I believe that every story that we've come across has been very, very intricate, right? But the main thread of all these stories that at some point, or another, they made a great decision, and it could have been just one little simple decision that actually just changed the whole trajectory of their career, right?
Mm-hmm.
And even so, with the one episode that we had with the LGBTQ community, that was just a real open and engaging conversation, especially coming from, you know, a perspective of two heterosexual males just trying to figure out, like, what is going on their world on the creative side. Like, we all face our battles, right? And mm-hmm. the whole creative realm, trying to get our art out there, trying to be acknowledged for our art, you know, and trying to elevate the art. But, you know, definitely our battles is different from their battles.
Mm-hmm.
But what is that like? What does that look like? You know? So, I sincerely believe that this animation could actually just change the conversation a bit, especially when it comes to being actually in the music industry. You know,
right.
It might change the conversation of, like, oh, well, dang, you're right. There's janky promoters out here. And now maybe we can just, you know, say that, you know, these type of janky promoters carry on these type of traits according to, you know, the characters that you had. You dig what I'm saying? It could actually be a part. I actually see it as it being a benchmark.
Yeah. No. But And the other thing that I want to be clear is that, like, although this is, it's based in the entertainment industry, like, there's a lot of just janky promoters in real life. Like,
oh, yes.
You have to be like the entertainment industry.
For sure.
Yeah. So I feel as though this is something that can apply to everyone. Like, I feel as if though, everyone comes across that contract. Like, you got to decide, like, am I going to work this nine to five? Because, like, I had visions in my life being this certain way. And like I said, like, it's not right. It's not wrong. It's really what works for you, but you got to sign that contract. Like, sometimes you're in a, like, Slick is in this label with a bunch of people who seemingly tricked him into this contract. Like, sometimes we just got to be around people that, like, we don't really mess with in order to get to where it is that we want
to
go.
And the goal is to try to not lose yourself in the process of having to be there.
Exactly.
Or reconcile with the piece that you will are going to have to let go of in order to survive. You know,
so that's two battles right there alone.
Exactly. I mean, you could write seasons just off those two concepts.
Yes.
Seasons. So,
yeah,
man, I'm excited, man. I really am excited for this particular project because I feel like everything about it screams ours. Like, we've had our own in the past, and things, shows like the Boondocks and shows like Afro Samurai definitely paved the way for sure.
Yeah.
But it's always that feeling of saying, yes, this is us. That's us. I see myself in this. It's always a good feeling. I mean, when you're used to it, you're used to it. I guess you don't notice it. But when you're not used to it, you appreciate it when, you know.
Yeah. No, and that's like one of the really dope things about this is that I've been going to different comic conventions and putting this in front of people, and I think one of my favorite moments was when it was a brother and a sister had come up and maybe they were like, I don't know, like 11, 12, something like that. But it was dope to see them flipping through the art and them saying, like, yo, I want to be like Chops. And like, nah, I want to be like Ronnie. And thinking about, like, how would they dress up as them and, like, how would they cosplay as them?
Wow. That must have been an amazing feeling.
Yeah, no, like, it's crazy. It's crazy because there's really not a lot of characters that have darker complexions that people can, like, dress up as and feel as if they're like, yo, like, that's me. Like, I can see myself in them. And I guess it goes back to, like you say, like, if you get that all the time, like, it's not that big of a deal. But if you don't have that,
you don't even notice that Barbie's white or that you're white and that you two are the same. It's just not a thing to notice, you know? But you'll notice it if you're a young black kid and you're not used to seeing a character that doesn't look like, you know? So I think this is a beautiful thing, man.
Absolutely. Like, for me, I still have the first comic book still, and of course the character still, and it took place in Washington D.C.
Love it.
I was like, wow, black guy Superman, the next Superman, take place in Washington D.C. I'm like, yo, like, if this doesn't connect with me, then I don't know what is out there, you know.
I remember that feeling when I was younger,
and I was pissed that I couldn't.
I remember that feeling when I was younger.
What?
That when I first saw Static Shock, like, that was huge for me coming up. Like, that was something that made me go, wait, he has locks.
Yeah.
Wait, what? That's a thing? We could do that?
Yeah.
And it seems kind of silly now because it's like, of course you can. You drew him. You can make him have whatever he wants to have. But again, because you're not used to seeing it, when you saw it, it was like, wait, oh, it's kind of jarring.
Right.
So I think this is very important work, bro. I really do. And especially with animation, because that's how some of these young cats are really. Being a nerd is no longer a bad thing. When I was coming up, that was a bad thing. You know, that's not what you was trying to be in life.
Right.
But today, that's kind of the point.
Yeah, I think it's like I'm happy for the kids that are growing up now, because I feel as if though, like, it's more so you can just, like, whoever you are, like, it's just more acceptable to be that. Because I feel life is already hard enough just as it is, but to try to pretend to be something that you're not just makes it just way more complicated and just awful.
Yeah.
It's dope to just be able just to find joy in whatever it is that you like and just run with it.
I'm totally with it. I'm totally with it.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. So, yo, DJ Tony Drake, we're going to wrap this up.
No problem. No problem.
All right, so let the creators know, like, all your social media. Also your address for your Kickstarter. Also your deadline, if you have a deadline for a Kickstarter.
Yeah, so we're trying to raise $50,000. We have to do it by October 2nd. Have until October 2nd at midnight. But so that you don't have to try to remember October 2nd, just go donate now. And then and you can go to bluegeekmusic.com. That's bluegeekmusic.com. You'll see a button, just click on that and it'll take you directly to the Kickstarter page. Like I said, if we don't raise the $50,000, then we don't get anything. This is really a huge opportunity. There's a lot of things that I didn't touch on as far as like the fact that this is all independent. Like, there's not a company behind me. A lot of times you'll see these other animations, there's like a studio, or you have like a millionaire backer. We're using a website called Artella.com, where we can actually tap into the different talent pools that Disney and Pixar and DreamWorks are tapping into. And because we don't have a brick and mortar studio, we can actually cut the cost down, but still pay artists what they deserve to get paid. So this really could be something like game changing, not even in just like having a cartoon, but cartoons are made outside of Hollywood, outside of New York, outside of Korea. Like, I'm located in Baltimore, and, we'll be able to put something out at a super high quality. So there's just a lot of things to get interested in if you're not into cartoons. If you're into independent art, like, this is something to get into. But yeah, that's just running through everything. BlueGeekMusic.com, Blue Geek Music on Instagram, Blue Geek Music on Twitter. I think if you Google the Indies Kickstarter, it pops right on up.
We'll make sure to include the link to your page
in the description. I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
I really appreciate that.
And whatever we can do to support.
Yeah, if everybody can just share, like, that would be amazing. Because, like, the thing is that, like, we're actually doing really well. Like, if we had only raised, like, $1,000, then it kind of would have been like, whatever. But we actually have the opportunity to raise the full $50,000. So we just need everyone to support.
I don't know if you're already doing this, but I would just start tagging celebrities, man, especially celebrities in our own community. I'm sure you probably are, but I mean, ultimately, sometimes it's just that simple. Sometimes it's just, I reached out and then Kevin Hart reached back for no reason. And then here we are. Here we are. You know what I'm saying? So,
hey, man. You hit up somebody in the DM and all of a sudden they reply back like, oh, wow, this is dope. How can I be involved?
Yeah,
well, you know what? This is how you can be involved. Exactly. In history is made,
and you don't have to worry about your 50 grand because you got that and then some. Man, look, include us in your email list. Man, shoot us an email of anything that you have going on.
Any updates, any promotions.
Yeah, man, dude, holler at us. You know, we'll open up our network as well. You know, it's promoting on our social. We really want to see this happen for real, dude. Nah, I really want to see this happen. I'm pretty sure Tabari is excited about the just the idea of it possibly happening as well. But yeah, we definitely will support and back what you got going on with the indies, bro.
Man, I definitely appreciate it. And just one last thing, in like every interview, I always forget to mention it. For the Kickstarter, we're doing a 2D animated short. But just because, for people that actually just find out about the indies, there's a free webcomic that they can go and they can read. So if you go to comic.bluegeekmusic.com, every week I'm releasing a new chapter, just to kind of celebrate the progress that we made. So right now we're on chapter 2. You can go check that out. You can read. You don't need to do anything for that. I just want to just kind of express to everyone out there, how grateful I am. So if you come across the indies, you get a free webcomic.
Stupid.
Dope. That's pretty dope, man, because it's a build up before it actually happens.
Yeah, it gives me something to want to buy into. I rock with that.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely, man. Absolutely. So, Tabar.
Yeah.
We got another one, bro.
I think so, man. I got to be honest. I think so. And I love where this is going, man. And to think that we could be on the ground floor of helping to bring this to fruition, bro. I got to tell you. Respect.
Appreciate it. It makes me feel good. But you know what, though? It's exciting to see that there's, like, creatives out there that have no freaking boundary. And they're, like, shooting straight for the moon.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely.
And on top of that, he self-educated himself.
Seriously.
Yes, like, let's not forget that we are living in the information age.
We are. You know, to learn something new is to say, I want to learn something new today. Click, 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 click. And get it done, bro.
And I'm telling you, if I can do it, like, I'm literally, anybody can do anything. Like, you literally just have to say, I want to do something, and then go out and figure out how to do it.
That's right.
It's really that simple.
No, it really is. It really, you know, I love the way we want to end this, because he's just telling you basically to get it done. And if you get it done or just need more inspiration, please hit the rewind button on this episode on YouTube at Two Bros Show. Make sure you like it and share it. And if you actually listen to this on SoundCloud, and you love it, hit the repost, share it with other creators out there that probably, like, maybe wavering with their creativity and need some inspiration. Yeah, share that with them. But also comment and also like it,
please.
And if you're not following us on Instagram and Twitter,
first of all,
do that. Exactly.
Be sharing on immediately.
Two Bros in the Studio Show, right? And now we have content that's going to be uploaded to our Facebook. Bro Show on Facebook. So we try to keep it real simple, keep it clear across the board. And look, creators, keep creating.